You have it within you to be positive. All right. Does anybody have an idea what we're going to preach about tonight? About being positive. All right. We're going to help someone tonight, I think. Someone's going to leave here a little bit more up in their step, a little more get up in their go. Okay, we'll get there. All right. We ain't got started yet, but we'll get there. So have you found Philippians chapter 2? All right. Pretty familiar book. It's a short book. Not a lot of chapters to it. Paul's writing this book. Paul's in prison. This is what we would call our prison epistles. Epistles being a letter that is written by somebody. Prison being because that's where he was. All right. And so those things like that. A lot of times we have letters that are written and they're titled from the office of or from the desk of or the musings of so-and-so while they were someplace or wherever you might find certain writings at. They're usually called a certain type of writing because of where they were penned, right? This happened to be one of Paul's prison journeys. And he's writing to the church of Philippi, to the Philippian people. And so I want you to understand here that this is what this is. And Paul's going to tell them these words. Look at verse 5 with me. So look at verse chapter 5, but that's not correct. So chapter 2, verse 5, this is what the Bible says. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let's pray, and then we'll get to an understanding of what we're looking at. Father, we thank you again for tonight and your love for us. We thank you for those that come back faithful, and Lord, we love them. We thank you, Father, that we could be a help, that the ministry. We pray, Lord, that we would turn even past what we can offer humanly. We can look to the Word and know that it can be even more of a greater help. And we thank you for that. So, Father, just pray for us tonight, or as we pray for one another, Lord, we pray that you would just reach down and just comfort us in a way. Help us to know that our needs are being met at this very moment. And we'll thank you for it and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you can't tell, I'm a little bit nervous. And if you can tell, well, then good. I try to hide it, but obviously, and I don't know why. I don't know why I'm nervous. I'm a positive guy. I'm just upbeat, joyful. I'm just a positive guy. I like things. If there's something negative, I try to find a silver lining around it to understand why it's that way. I just like it. My wife got me a big old thing of blackberries. I like blackberries. And usually I don't know how to separate them out to make them last more than one day. Okay? I can't do that. I know that if I was counting what I eat, I'm supposed to portion these out so that I have some here and I can have some later and I can have some tomorrow and they last longer. I don't know how to do that. All right, because when I start eating one, they're just so good, I want another. And then before I'm done, I'm like, is this all you got me? This empty. You know, let's go get some more. Well, I'm eating these the other night, and I noticed that this one has some white color to it. You know, and it's a little fuzzy where it ought not be fuzzy. And so I move it over to the side. And I pick up the next one that it was laying on, and I look at it. I got my glasses. I look at it without them. I don't see anything. I eat it. I eat the next one, and then I pick up, and that one's got a little bit of stuff there. So we set it off to the side, and that. And usually I'm a pretty positive guy. I try to find the negatives and move them out of the way. Those are the negative ones. Okay? That would be the negative blackberry, the one that has another color besides blackberry with it, you know. And so I added about four of them in the whole package. I know people that wouldn't have eaten any of them because there was one in there that was a negative. I know people who wouldn't even have looked at that and just ate them anyway. That was my father-in-law. My father-in-law, my wife's husband, would... or my wife, Dad, would open a jar, and if the salsa had green stuff on it, you know, growing like a vegetable plant, he'd stir it up. That would be him. There ain't nothing bad in this. And he'd shake it out on his whatever chips or whatever and go to town. I can't do that. I'm not that way. So, and I grew up on a farm. We ate a lot of weird things, but it's only so part weird will take you, you know. The Bible says this, let this mind be in you. Now, not a period there, it's a comma. There's more to it. But I want to stop for a moment just on this one part. Let this mind be in you. What is it that Paul is talking about? Well, let's go back to verse 1. And verse 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we kind of have an idea here about the mind that he's already talking about. Let this mind be in you. All right? So we kind of have an idea what Paul's talking about when he says that, about what type of mind we are to have. Listen, y'all okay if I ask the question? Here we go. Thank you for answering, and we're happy we get to ask the question. So not that you had a choice, I'm going to ask it anyway. But is it okay to love one another? Amen. I think it's okay. I think it's a little bit above okay. I think it's good. I think it's good to love one another. Do you think that it's okay that if we're in the same class, let's say we're taking math together, do you think it's okay that we all learn at the same time? Yeah. I would think so. I think it's okay that we all learn math together. I think it's okay that if Rusty understands that 1 + 1 = 2 a whole lot quicker than the pastor understands that 1 + 1 = 3. Okay? We understand that, right? It's okay that we slow down, catch him up to speed. Help him to understand. 1 + 1 = 2. Would you not be in agreement then that when we come into worship together, that if we're singing a song and we're all supposed to be on page 223, and we see someone that's not quite on page 223, that we help them? Yeah. Well, here's where we're at. Take my book. I'll get my own, and we help them out that way. That's what it means to love one another, and that's what it means to that we kind of be in one mind. And so we want to be together. We want to be in, I'm trying to avoid the word unity because I want to use something else because I'm going to get to unity later. But I really can't avoid it because that's really what we're talking about is unity. You see, when you have unity together, that means everything is working to where nothing is fighting against it. So every person in here, or every member of the body is doing their job to where, I don't have to do a whole lot of maintenance. We're functioning. We're working well. We're doing things together, and it's a good thing. Now, that's what he's talking about here, of this right here. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, what that also is saying is the fact that I'm sorry, but I'm happy that I don't think like the rest of y'all. Okay? And y'all don't think like I do sometimes. But that's okay because we're individual. But we also should be thinking along the same line when it comes to the things of God. Yes. Now, because I think, Anybody know what living oil or essential oil or alive, those oils, anybody know what those things are? Anybody ever like dabble with that? The very best, this is my thinking, the very best oil you can have is bacon oil.
Amen.
It sits on a jar on your stove, and you just reuse it, fill it back up. You know, I'll tell you, it's the best thing on eggs. It's the best thing you can make with fried potatoes and onions. A little bit of bacon grease. Just put some in a jar, spray it on, just... You know, a little dab on the neck, behind the ear. You catch some flies that way, too. All right. Now, some of y'all will say, no, preacher. Now, bacon's not the best thing for you. Well, you get out of my way. Okay, I don't need that negativity in my life. Okay? And so, all right, here we go. This is what I mean, but we all don't think alike. Okay? All right, here we go. But we're to be in one accord, of one mind, and this comes in talking about our fellowship of the Spirit, comfort of love, and having mercies. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, to let each esteem other better than themselves. Here you go. Open the door. You go first. No, it's okay. You can do it. You go. You know what? Why don't you take that on? No. Oh, I know, but it's okay. You can do it this time. We take second place. We take a step back for somebody else to go. I don't need the limelight. I don't need to be in the glory. I don't need to be at the headline of everything that's going on. I don't need to be on a bumper sticker somewhere. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus. When we take that approach, when it comes to other people, we find ourselves taking a step back so that somebody else can serve and somebody else can be a part. And at the same time, we're doing our part while they're doing theirs by being able just to take a step back. Now, not everybody take a step back because somebody's got to do something. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. Well, it's take a step back week. Then nothing gets done that week. No, that's not what that means. Okay? It means that we have to still do our part, but it's great to be able to do it together. Okay? And so here's what we're looking at. And look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, here we go. Remember when I said, let this mind be in you, and there was a comma? Alright, here's why Paul didn't end it there. He wanted you to tell you what type of mind he was talking about, which was in Christ Jesus. This was the mindset of Jesus. You want to be like Christ? You need to have the mindset that he had when he was here. And how he would serve others. He didn't... Okay, let's just move on. I'll get ahead of myself here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says this. We'll stay right there, and I'm just going to kind of read some of this as we go along. Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think, okay, on these things. All right, so you have to use this noggin up here that God gave you. All right? And he gave you something up here between the ears called a brain, a mind. And within this great intellectual mass of grayness between our ears is the ability to think. It's to think. And we're going to think a little bit tonight. So, number one, you must think it's not an option. All right? I want to talk to saved people tonight. All right? So you're saved tonight. I just look on the outside. So I'm just going to say the outside tells me that everybody's saved. But God looks on the inside, and you have to be able to tell Him that. Okay? You can't tell me that. I just look on the outside. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to think tonight, but you have to do this. It's not an option. You cannot be negative. Amen. Not an option. If you're saved tonight, you must have positive thoughts. You have to have a positive thought pattern within yourself. So think on these things. Listen. Number one, think positive thoughts. Think positive thoughts. Some Christians, we fail. I'm sorry. We fail to discipline our thinking. We fail to, what do I want to say? We fail to discipline. Yeah. When our thinking's bad, we don't punish it. We feed it more. When we think, you know, I got some names. I'm just going to kind of say it like this. Everybody ever been driving down the road and somebody else is driving and they're not behaving? You know, maybe they're going too fast, or maybe they passed you when they're not supposed to, or maybe they want a stop sign, or maybe they turn too soon in front of you and then they use their turning signal. You okay? And you go, well, that slime. Now, maybe you said something different. Shame on you. You laughed. You knew what I was talking about. You said something different. You thought something different. If we don't correct it, then the next person gets the same kind of treatment. And then the next person, or somebody in the shopping center, the store, they got their cart, they're going through. They don't even say, excuse me. Pardon me. I hope you do, but they don't. And it was like, whew, I got a bunch of animals in here. I've just got to get out of here. We can develop a lot of negative thoughts if we don't learn to discipline them and create a thought of positiveness in our way of thinking. Because we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We have to understand that, hey, these people are living in sin. And sinners don't know better. Lost people are condemned to a hell already. They're going to act like lost people. And how are they ever going to see a witness if I'm thinking the way they're thinking? And I have negative thoughts the way they're negative. And so we have to change sometimes. And sometimes, yes, it hurts a little bit. But listen, we have to take, we save people, people on our way to heaven. We have to take deliberate action on controlling when we have a negative thought towards somebody and create something positive within us. Go outside. You go to your car. And all of a sudden you get ready to get in the driver's door. And you just happen to look at the back tire as you're getting in. You open the door. You look. It's flat. Well, dumb car. Slam the door. Kick it. I just hurt my toe. I didn't do anything to the car. It's flat. Now what I'm going to do? Well, how do I have something positive out of that? Okay. I've got a great answer. You look at it and you say, amen. What does amen mean? So be it. Can't do anything about it except change it. Right? And if I'm already thinking negative, can't do anything about it until I change it. Right? So how's positive? What's positive about a flat tire? Well, you had a car to have a flat tire. A lot of people don't have a car. Some people just have a tire. I'm just being honest. It's the way it is. And you had three tires that still had air in them. Am I making sense? Are we kind of thinking alike here a little bit maybe? Or if you're not, maybe we're kind of getting on board that there's something positive, even though I have a negative, my outlook has to be a whole lot better than the bottom side of that tire that doesn't have any air in it. You know? And so, let me be a help tonight. So number two. Number one, I'm thinking positive thoughts. Number two, I have to hear positive sounds. You see, when they go through these holes up here, it's going to hit something to receive a signal. And then that signal is going to get relayed into there, into the brain to make sense of what you're listening to. Isaiah 22:14 says, "And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord." It was revealed in mine ears by the Lord. Many people today listen to filth. You know, the newest songs on the Billboard have the filthiest, baddest, dirtiest language and words out there. And they're attracting the young people by the groves. Listen. Many people listen to this stuff. They listen to all this destruction coming across their earpods and their music and their radio stations and conversations and even talk shows today are just filled with nothing but people fighting against people and negativity and all this stuff that goes against what God and who God is and what He stands for. And they fight against the church, and we come in for just a few minutes a day in perspective. We're not in church very long until we're back out in the world for the majority of our lives. Who do you think is going to control that? What we get to listen to? The preacher can stand up here for 30 minutes to 40 minutes and give you a message, and it come right from the very windows of heaven. And yet we go outside, and the first thing the world wants us to hear is its destruction. And they have a voice that they want to be heard too. But they get us every day. And we just come to church for a couple hours a week. You see why it's important for you and I to discipline our thinking as to what we want to listen to and to what we're going to put into our ears? You see, we have to choose to listen to the good things. Get the right kind of music. Get the right kind of audio books and different things we want to listen to. And tell people, look, listen, I don't listen to those kind of jokes. I don't listen. I like jokes. I like good jokes. I like fun jokes. I like jokes that make me laugh. I do. But I don't need all the worldly filth that comes into jokes. All right? And I don't need all the worldly, self-proclaimed gurus out there that tell you how to be a better you. If I want good preaching and I need to hear good preaching, I'm coming to church. Okay? Now, I know there are times you can't make it to church, but there's a whole lot better people than a certain gentleman down in Dallas or Houston. Joyce Myers. Anybody ever heard of her? Yeah. Well, if you like her, I'm going to not be your friend. Not by my choice. I'll be your friend. You may not want me after I say this. But she got a tattoo. Right back here. But nobody can see that one. But she told everybody that's where it is. But then she got another one on her foot. So people can see that one. So that she could relate better to the people of this generation. I don't need a tattoo to relate to anybody. My Bible tells me how I'm going to relate to people. I'm going to show them a light. And like a bug in the middle of the darkness, they're going to see a light. They're going to come running to see what it is. And they're going to make a choice when they see that light. They're either going to say, whoop! Run! Well, they're going to get close and it zaps them. And I hope it zaps them with the finger of God. Amen. And they get saved. Amen. And they leave that bug light, my light, this little light of mine, I'm not going to let it, you know. Ain't Satan going to whoop it out. They're going to fly away even shining brighter than they came. Be a light to somebody else. We must hear from the Lord and heed His ways. Point one, you got to think positive thoughts. Point two, you got to hear positive sounds. Point three, you got to look at positive stuff. Are you with me? How many of you ever seen a negative billboard? A billboard that promotes promiscuity, promotes gentlemen's clubs, adult porn, tobacco, alcohol, just a little sip of this and all your worries go away. Well, a little sip of this, a little sip again, little sip again, little sip again, pretty soon bottle, 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 and next thing you know, you're in rehab or you're dead. Or you got liver cancer. I mean, alcohol, it doesn't just, you just don't get one little sip. Cigarettes, you just don't take one little puff. You want another. And, oh, it wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. And then you begin to try out different things. I'm telling you, we gotta learn to set our sights. Listen, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Alright? I'm not gonna preach the word our in that word, in that text right there, but it's for you and I. Alright? Some Christians, we like to look for the bad in people and point them out. There are. I got friends I used to go to church with. Oh, did you see so-and-so? Why, yeah, I see so-and-so. Why don't we pray for so-and-so? Instead of talking about them. Yeah. Might do some good. Yeah. If I got to look at them, I might as well pray for them. Yeah. Might help. Might be a help to somebody. I mean, I'm just trying to, They only see the faults. They only see the negatives. They only look for the little things in somebody's life instead of seeing what the bigger picture is. I tell young people all the time, and I go up to someone and I said, you're only 11. I'm 58. That means I've been 11 once. You've never been 58 yet. Makes sense. And then I'll look at him and I'll say something like, if you could only see what I see God has for you and God can do through you and with you, if you'll just give your life to Him. You see, that's what I see in people. But you can't see that. It's hard to see that. Because we're used to seeing who we are right now. We can't see God using me. I don't see how God could use me. I look and I'm like, I'm like, wow, God is using me to do this? I may never know all the rewards I have until I get to heaven. Because God's doing something with me right now that I'm unaware of. So let's not worry about what I can and cannot do for the Lord. Let's just do what I can do that I see I can do, and we'll let God take care of the rest. That's what He's supposed to do anyway. Pick up where I can't. To be a positive person, one must look for the good and look to Jesus. Let me share a wonderful Psalms. I think it's Psalms 120. There's a shepherd writing this psalm. And the psalm goes like this. I will lift mine eyes upon the hills. From whence cometh my help? That's verse 1. And verse 2, we'll start off saying like this. And my help cometh from the Lord. Alright. Now, we got to back that up again. Because it says, I will lift mine eyes upon the hills. It means I gotta look up. Yeah. You ever notice that negative people look down and away? Yeah. But you and I, we got that faraway look of a land. It's called heaven. This home is not our home. I'm just passing through. Lord got me here for a little bit. But oh my, the things that I will see and I will do are beyond anything I could ever imagine for myself and also for you. Isn't God good? Amen. He gives us so much, but yet we do so little with that so much He gives us. We need to look for the good and look to Jesus. Number 4. Speak positively. Speak positively. You have a verse for that? Yeah, I do. Psalm 105, verse 2. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Don't get tired of how good God's been. Get excited and repeat it over and over and over. Psalms 105, verse 2. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Well, what's so wonderful? He saved me. I think He saved a few of you. Maybe some of you, maybe all of you. You know, get excited a little bit. He's a wonderful God who deserves a wonderful praise. And we ought to talk about Him. When somebody comes up to you and they say something to you, you know, I don't know, just say something, you know, they just say something has happened to them. They may not go to church, I don't know the answer to that. They just walk up to you, you know, we're talking in Walmart at the gas station, I'm talking to a guy, I said, hey buddy, I said, I like your truck, and he begins to tell me about his truck, and I said, yeah, isn't God good? Well, how do you know He likes that kind of talk? I don't care. My Bible tells me I don't have a choice. that my God is worth praise, that I'm to talk of His wondrous works. God is good to the just as well as the unjust. You mean God is good to sinners too? Well, He was good to you to make you laugh long enough to get saved. I mean, what if you died the day before someone showed you the Bible? What a horrifying story that would be. Isn't God good? We ought to just talk about it then, shouldn't we? We ought to talk about how good God's been. The guy talked to you at the gas station, talked to me about his truck, and I said, isn't the Lord good? He's just good to us, isn't He? And he looked at me and he goes, oh, you believe in God? I said, well, yeah. Yeah, I believe in Him. He goes, well, so do I. And we started talking. It's amazing how the door will open up. I've had somebody say, oh, you believe in God? Yep. Well, I don't. Well, you ought to change your mind. And he said, well, maybe you should change yours. I said, I can't. It's already happened. I've been born again. Too late. Yep. All kinds of ways to talk people positively about God. You don't have to be mean or anything to beat them up over it. And just say, you know, God's just been good to me. What do you mean He's been good to you? You've got like the severest form of arthritis. Yeah, but He's good to me. He gave me pain. Well, how's that good? I get to give it back to Him. Well, how do you give pain back to God? You just ask Him, Lord, take it. Doesn't mean He does all the time, but... Oh, and can I just say this? Just because God can do something doesn't mean He won't that day. That doesn't mean He can't if He doesn't do it that day. If He doesn't do it that week, doesn't mean He can't do it. He's still good and He still can do it. We just keep praying. We just keep talking to Him. We keep our eyes upon the hills because that's where my help comes from. It doesn't come from no book, no self-help book. Well, it comes from the Bible, but it doesn't come from your national top 10 bestsellers on the New York Times. Somebody said, you know, Brother Nelson, that the Bible made the number one bestseller on the New York Times list again. Well, I said it shouldn't even be there to begin with. It's not in competition with any other book. It's a standalone book. It's in its own category. It sets aside all by itself. My Bible does not fit in with all these other books. There's no place for it to fit in with all these other books. All right, move on. Speak positive. It's hard. It's hard to take God's name in vain when you're praising Him. Oh, okay. Oh. All right. We got to go here because I'll never get done if I don't. It's hard to get mad when you're singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You can't do it angry. You cannot sing the B-I-B-L-E and be mad at your neighbor. You just can't. You want to take me up on it? Try it. Let me know next week. Okay? You just cannot. The neighbor over there may do something and you're singing, "Yes, that's the book for me! The Bible!" And he looks at you like, what? The B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. I'm trying to start an argument with you. I'll stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Well, you make no sense. And he turns around and leaves. You can't get mad when you're singing a chorus, a children's song, or a song, the old Rugged Cross. Sing that one and get mad at somebody. I dare you. Can't do it. Oh. The Bible says in the third commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Do you know that's in the Bible? Exodus chapter 20. That's where all the commandments are. I told you this morning they're not suggestions. They're commandments. All right, God doesn't suggest for you and I to live. He commands. He gives us strict orders. So if you're a child of God and you're to be Christ-like and you have a negative thought, I want you to think with me on this. You've taken His name that you carry in vain. You say something bad about somebody and you're a Christian. To be Christ-like, to have the same mind as Christ. You've taken His name in vain. It gets a little serious now, doesn't it? When we start to think about what taking His name in vain really means. It's not saying cussing out Jesus Christ. It's not what it's saying, yet that's done every day. That's done every day around us. We take the name of God and we throw it out there like slander. But the other half of it is we live a life in such a way that's expected from God to you and I to live in such a way that honors Him, and to do so differently is to take that name of Jesus that died on the cross for you and I, who gave His very life and shed His blood that you might have everlasting life, and fix that bond between that gap that spreads across between where we are and God Himself. And Jesus gave us the way, and to go anything opposite that is to take that name of Jesus, that holy name, that wonderful name, that name above all others, in vain. I'm guilty. But I try hard not to be anymore. But that's just another way to move on. We want to stay positive. So let's get back positive. Number five. Oh, do you all understand how to speak positive words? Right? Okay, we got that? Okay. Number five. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. We need to do positive stuff. Do positive things. The deeds of many are negative. Men would rather love darkness than light, for their deeds are evil. I like light. And my wife will tell y'all, I got to have a light on. There has got to be, I'm not afraid of the dark, not at all. But I got to have light. I need a light, I want a light. I have a light, therefore I'm going to use a light. All right? I just like light. I like it brighter instead of dimmer. When I go out to eat, the lights go down. I'm like, what? Turn those lights back on. You ever go out to eat and you go someplace and they were brighter at one time and now they're not so bright because they want to get into the casual mood of people? No, let's not be casual. Let's be up and going and energetic and upbeat. Let's get her done. All right. The deeds of many are negative. But we must be truthful and ready to lift those who are down. Positive deeds. Positive deeds. When's the last time we helped somebody just because? Just because. positive. I think sharing the gospel is a positive deed. I think hiding it would be a negative deed. I think living a life for Christ would be a positive thing. I think not living a life for Christ, knowing you are a saved person, would be a negative thing. Positive. We're not given much option from God that it's okay to be a negative person. God's not really giving us any leeway here. He doesn't really say, you know what, you've been really positive all this time in your life. You deserve a break, Mr. Happiness. Now go be Mr. Grumpy for 6 months, get it out of your system, and then come back and be happy again. God doesn't tell us that. He doesn't give us the excuse and the right, if you will, to go out and be that grumpy, negative person. But instead, he tells us to go to that person so that they can keep from being that grumpy and negative person. Well, I used to have a ministry in a nursing home. There's some grumpy people in a nursing home. You don't even have to be in a nursing home to be grumpy. Did you know that? You can be grumpy outside a nursing home. You can. You can work for the government and be grumpy. It's true. The railroad and be grumpy. It's true. I've met a few of them. But I've also met some of the most kindest and generous and helpful people in the nursing home. And the government. And the railroad. Met some wonderful people. They're all stages of life. But you have to make a choice. What am I going to do for Christ today? All right, lastly. Man, you're like, yeah, let's get done with this positive message. We can't take too much positivity around here. Okay. All right, preacher, you're not like our other pastor. He wasn't this positive all the time. Get over it. Okay, here we go. Last one. All right. And I know it's a hard one. So, number one, you got to have, remember, think positive thoughts. And number two, because you're thinking positive thoughts, you got to hear positive sounds. And then you got to say positive stuff, right? And you got to see positive things. Everything's about the head, right? Okay. So lastly, Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We got to go to positive places. We gotta go to positive places. Are you glad when you get to get up and go to church on Sunday? Are you glad when you get to go to church? Are you glad when you get to go to where you can sit and know that you have a need and it is God who Himself can help meet that need? And you showed up. And you showed up. We're not going to talk about there was a pool in Siloam that they had to wait on the steps. The preacher might remember this story. But they had to wait on the steps. And when the water would ripple, whatever your infirmity was, if you were the first to get to the water, you would be healed. I'm glad I don't have to knock some of y'all down so I can get to be first. Some of you might put up a fight. I'm just saying. But I'm glad. All right? Now listen. When Jesus came, He took care of all that. But I'm glad I get to go to church. Because it's a positive place. And I get to be more of a positive influence on those that come in these doors off the street. They come in here. I may not recognize them. I may not know what they're going through. I may not know any hurts they have or any needs they have. I may not know anything at all. Or I might even know a little bit. I don't know. But I'm glad that I was in church so that I could be a positive person that they get to meet. They want to meet a positive person. Did you know that more times than not, you are the first person they see before they get to the pastor? And if they have to fight through all the glum and the gloom and the mopey and the grumpy, the dopey, to get to Mr. Happy, they may not be wanting it. It's hard to redo a first impression. First impression is all you got. And a lot of times, people believe what they perceive. And so if their perception is one way about you, you've got a whole lot of work to do to get them to think different. Because they got to see it, not just hear it. They have to see it in action, not just hear it. James says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We got to go to positive places. Positive places. There's a lot of positive places we can go to. There's a lot of negative places we can go to. All right. So, born again child of God. I'm not going to go down a whole list of places to avoid. We know what they are, okay? But churches, church ought to be the one thing that you don't ever have to think about wanting to go there. You get to go there. You belong there. You have a place there. You have a position there. There is a pew with you, and I'm going to say this, it's going to come out wrong, but there's a pew with your name on it. All right, you don't own it. It may change from week to week, but you own a spot in church. Jesus died for you to have a place there. Well, so get positive. Honey, you know what today is? I told you not to wake me up. It's Sunday. Come on. We got to go to church. Oh, why did I stay up so late last night? What time did I go to bed? An hour ago. Now get up. We got to go. It's not the way to handle going to church. Not the way to handle coming to worship your Lord and Savior. He deserves so much more than your second and third and fourth best. You ought to save it all up just for Him on Sunday. Amen. Don't you get wore out and say, well, Lord, you know I had a hard week. I'm just tired. Lord says, no, you had some decisions to make. You chose the wrong ones. Now get to church. Ain't no excuse good enough when you willingly miss church. Mm-hmm. Willingly. Y'all know what I mean by that, right? Okay. I'm on my way tonight when I leave here to St. Luke's Hospital on the plaza in Kansas City to visit a lady who's getting ready to have an ablation done on her left ventricle, and they're going to put a pacemaker in. She's 88, I think. She is scared to her wit's end. Her husband had this done. He died like 3 years later. He didn't last very long after it. And she is so worried it's about to be her. But she is one of the most praying women I've ever met in my life. She has prayed for my ministry for about 15 years now. since I met her and her husband. I buried her husband not too long ago, and I buried her daughter not too long ago. Her daughter just, her other daughter called me today and said, would you come visit Mama? Mama needs you. So I'm going to go because she needs some positiveness. I will lift mine eyes upon the hills from whence cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord. You have an opportunity to be positive to somebody because you never know when you're going to be called on to say, hey, can you come be something positive for so-and-so? What an honor to do so for your King, for your Savior, for your Lord, Jesus. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is to understand that we don't have an excuse to be negative in our lives. We don't have time for this energy to be wasted. Lord, that you've told us that if we just look out, the fields are white already to harvest. And our time is just going by day after day after day. Are we making an impact on our society today? Are we making an impact on our neighborhoods? Are we making an impact inside our churches today? But it's because we fight, I think, Lord, between that negative and that positive, that emotion versus that decision. And God, I pray for your help tonight. I don't know who needed this. Maybe it was just myself that needed this tonight. So, Father, I pray you do a work now. We want to give this to you in Jesus' name.